Your whip about to get rocking. Your smile about to be popping. Lit times for your drive, no maybes. Just yes, so release the stress.
Gary and Tommy about to go off.
Gary and Tommy are about to start another fun journey in the podcast. And no matter where you are on your health journey, NIB will help you live health first. Put your health first and join NIB today. Visit nib.com.au. Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Gary and Tommy.
Welcome to it for your Thursday, Arvo. How are we, guys?
Little something to get you up and about.
Great.
Fellow parents. Oops, yes. You're not parents, but that's okay. I think we're still fine.
Hang on. I'm just trying to imagine myself a bit more tired and a bit broker.
Okay.
Yep. I'm in parent
and
mode.
And grumpier.
Yeah.
This is from this Instagram New Yorker cartoons, right? Yep. Funny little daily shouts, they call them. So, Felix had an accident during that time and doesn't have a spare pair of pants at school. If Felix's father is listed as the primary point of contact on all of the documents, how many times does the school call his mother? Is their first little shout out. These little maths problems for us to solve together.
Okay.
You're not getting it?
What? I don't understand.
The point is, why does the school always call the mother the father?
Do you know what I was thinking? Because I was like, why are they calling the mother when the primary point of contact is the father?
Exactly.
Because, do you know a little fun? Are these by Dools?
Who's Dools?
Scott Dooley.
No, these are at the Kate Tellers.
Oh.
I'll give you one more. If Carl sleeps 6 hours and requires 2 cups of coffee before he will get up to the baby, and Virginia sleeps 4 hours in 20-minute increments on the floor next to the baby, how many times can Carl tell Virginia to? No, that's not.
This is, you know what I'm getting flashbacks of? Remember where you had that amazing never been done before thing where you started telling me about this job that was unpaid and they worked so many hours and it was, everyone get ready to be shocked, the job was being a mum.
Here's another one, last one for you. Glennis spends a third of her life as Nate's mummy, a third as Mike's wife, and a third at Starbucks drinking out of a coffee cup with Gladys written on the side. When will she feel whole? Oh, one more. If X is the Monday that Jess returns to the office from maternity leave, and Y is her manager who asks her how she liked her break, why? Seriously, why?
You know how you start this. You know how you started this and you said, this is for fellow parents.
Yeah.
I think you meant mums.
Whatever. Fellow mums, you got it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your drive home, the Savo. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
So when you're a parent, right, I feel like you have views on what sort of parent you'll be like at different stages of your kids before you get there. And then when you get there and you're like, oh, right, I'm just like that person that I judged.
Yes. Well, every one of my friends has insisted that they are going to be like this, no devices, no screen, 6 months in, and the kid basically has the squarest, he's got an iPhone gaffer taped to his forehead, so he's constantly distracted.
So when years ago I was at some dinner with bosses of one of the jobs that I worked at, and one of these guys from America was sitting next to me, and he was checking his phone, and I was, you know, and you can't help but look at what the person's looking at. Like I wasn't.
You craned your neck to
I
see.
Didn't crane. It was right in front of me, and I took a quick look, and it said Life 360 on it, and I was like, Life 360? And then I said, what's that? And he said, I'm just watching my son pick up his phone while driving. And I said, pardon? And he said, aren't you from America? And he goes, yeah, my son in the States.
Yeah.
He just picked up his phone while he was driving. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, he has this app, right, that can tell you, so it pretty much tracks your child.
Yeah, it definitely does,
yeah. And so your kid has it on their phone, you have it on your phone, and then it shows you the speed they drive in their car. It shows you how often they've stopped, when they arrived to their destination. It shows you if they've picked up their phone while they've been in the car driving.
So with the phone, I assume he has to be driving, or else his only excuse is he's running at 60 miles an hour and
so
his phone's active.
The point that I'm going to get to is I now have this app. But
do you?
Let's go back a few years. I didn't have this app. I would never have this app. And the way it works with Ollie now is even when he's on the train or on his bike, it tells you the speed that it's going, and you think, gosh, he's walking fast, and you realise he's on the train,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So he was telling me about this, and I said to him, that's insane. Surely you have to have a bit of trust in your child that they're going to do the right thing, right? And he goes, no. He said, he's just started driving. He's just started drinking. I'm concerned. I bought him a car, and I said to him, if I'm buying you a car, then we're putting this on your phone, and I'm going to you lose that car when you do the wrong thing, or whatever their rules were around him having the car. Anyway, I had a big discussion with him and told him that I think it was ridiculous. In our day and age, there was a bit of trust, you know, and we'd our parents would just trust that they taught us right, and then they'd send us off into the world and we'd be okay. Now, fast forward 3 years, and I now have this app, and Ollie has this app on his phone.
You know what's great? I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously marketing to kids is a very lucrative industry, right? Let's make a fake Life 360 app that like intercepts the parents' tracking app,
so
and just
kids
does
can
really
do what they
normal
want,
things.
But
and
it makes it look like they're sitting having cups of tea
type
in the front
room. Yeah. Walk at 5 kilometres an hour for 2 hours. Thank you.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
If you drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because you know how your mind is fully in one piece at the moment.
So, don't project. It's you that's unravelling. I'm good.
Hang on. Wait, this has gotten way too serious. I was just saying prepare for your mind to be blown with the fact of
that.
And they're getting real personal.
That sound like that. That sounded like you were saying, like, you know how you're a hot mess.
Okay, mate.
Did that, is that what everybody thought that, yes, yeah, see?
Yeah, that's from Eli. That bloke hasn't slept in a week. Look at Eli.
Does he ever sleep? I still wonder how he does this job because he doesn't go to bed till like 4 in the morning, but then he's got to get up for work.
He is fueled by coloured popcorn and coloured popcorn alone, and occasionally he'll have a toffee apple.
You've not had much sleep either.
No, I'm jet lagged.
You're jet lagged, but talk to me.
Speaking of jet lag, I've got this amazing fact about airports, but are you ready for it?
I think so.
Because I think it will make you not trust anything anymore.
Oh.
So I got told this by a friend and I didn't believe it. And so I checked it out when I was at the airport and bang, it is absolutely true. You know, one of the modern marvels of technology when you go through the airport and there's facial recognition when you scan your passport?
Yes, which I don't use because I have a family and the kids can't do it, so we always go through the family line. So I'm not overly familiar with facial recognition.
Carrie Bickmore here. You should recognise the face.
That's not what I said. Addie can't do facial recognition because she's too little, so we go through a different line. Anyway, so I've not done it a lot, but yes, I've done it once or twice.
Well, guess what? Because there's no facial recognition.
Also, tip, if you want to get through quickly, have a family. Because you go through a little side thing because they don't want all the annoying kids. So get yourself a family. You won't even have to worry about facial recognition.
That's so many years in the making.
Just use someone else's tag
just
on.
Take someone
I'm
to save 10 minutes.
it's not. It can save hours. There's no facial recognition.
Facial recognition at the airport, in Australia at least, doesn't exist.
What do you mean? So, the glass you walk up to that you look and they do a little scan.
Yeah. So do you know what happens then? Your photo goes to a man sitting behind the counter who you can see behind those desks.
So hold on. Your photo is in
so
the photo
you
it takes.
You put your passport in, right? And then it takes a photo of your face.
Yep.
And you think it's doing this fancy facial recognition thing. What it's doing is you look up and you can see them at the airport. They're sitting there and they've got a counter in front of them. And on that counter, they've got a screen. And what happens is a passport photo and then a photo of a person pops up next to it. And they just go tick, 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 and hit their button on their monitor.
So it is facial recognition just by a person, not by a computer.
That's not facial recognition. This is someone looking at photos.
Well, they're recognising the faces.
Why are you being difficult?
It's the same process. We don't want the robots to take our jobs, so maybe this is a good outcome.
Everybody, good luck impressing Carrie today.
So how can they claim, do they claim it is?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know now.
Is it the system's not working and they just,
I don't know, someone
why would they have an entire system like that then still requires people?
Because they don't have the technology.
So, but does it overseas, is it facial recognition?
Don't know. We should do an investigation.
You should try on your way home from Montreal.
Okay, I'll have a look.
Yeah. We're going to go ask them or?
No, I'm not good with confrontation. I'll just snoop until I'm apprehended.
Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, because as I've told you in confidence before, beer occasionally has a slightly amnesic effect on me. And then I get it in just flashes weeks later. And something happened that I told you about straight away. But then I completely forgot about it. And I just realised I haven't told the world.
Yeah, happened when you're on the streets of London.
Yes, and someone I bumped into tooling around who I did not...
A very famous Australian.
Yes, in the partiest bit of a party town. I did not expect to see them. I'll tell you about it next.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia, if you drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Do you remember when you rang me from London? Mm-hmm. And I think you might have been drunk.
Because...
And you made me play a guessing game that went way too long. Yes. Like, first couple of goes and I was riffing with you and then I was like, oh my God, just tell me already. Do you remember this?
Yes. I was responsibly, a little bit buckled, but I but kids, if you're going to get buckled responsibly.
Just don't need to bring the kids into it.
Okay, oh, yeah, sorry.
Kids just can't. It's got nothing to do with this break.
Kids just can't drink. Do any they of can't it. Drink. Yes. Sorry, I forget.
How?
I forget because I wasn't sure.
Because you're not a child, you're a grown adult.
No, but I thought for a second, honestly, that the message was kids have to drink responsibly.
Sorry, no, that's adults. Yes, kids okay. don't drink. Adults kids, drink responsibly.
Kids don't drink. Oh, anyway, God. I was, not now, but I sound drunk. And I was wandering through the streets of Soho in London at the time, and I'd just seen someone who made my day.
Yeah, and then you rang me and you're like, guess who I just saw?
Mm.
And, oh, I gave you 10 guesses. And you still wouldn't tell me.
Soho, for those who don't know, is the gay capital of London, the party district of London. And,
which is a funny place to see this person.
Big, colourful streets. And I saw a familiar face walking down the street and I thought, oh.
I know her.
What do you know? And I walked, should I just say what I said?
You should, yes, because you tell me the clues you gave me.
Yes, I said, I walked up to her and I said.
You said iconic Aussie.
Iconic Aussie, and I said a big hello. And the first thing I said to her was, Julia,
are you drunk? You are drunk, aren't you? God, I wish you'd been that quick and give me the answer when you called me. I had stuff to do.
We don't know which Julia, though.
Okay. Tommy ran into Julia Gillard on the streets of Soho because when I think party person,
I think JG rocking out.
I love it. Good on you, yes. Julia. What was she up to? What did you say to her?
I told her that I thought she was amazing getting so much legislation pushed through in such in such a tough environment.
Just a funny thing. Did you introduce yourself first?
I did, but I brushed over that real quickly. I said, hi, Julia. My name's Tommy. I think I've chatted to you before, but I just wanted to say I think you're amazing. And
then you managed to get so much legislation pushed through
in such a hostile
opposition.
In such a hostile environment.
And how did she recognize you?
I think as a drunk man on the street,
okay,
yes.
Okay, but not as Tommy
yes, no.
from Australia.
And then I told her how, you know, I've got nieces and I think, you know, our country's a better place for having women like her in it.
Oh, that's
and,
lovely.
Yeah. And
such
then,
an earnest chat from you.
Yeah, yeah. I was there for D&M with Jules. And then she started telling me why she was there.
And why was she there?
She was there for this event. She was the guest speaker
you didn't
at this
listen,
event.
Did
yeah,
you?
It was called the Welcome Something.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, but then she did start to. She was meeting a friend for lunch, and geez,
oh
lunchtime.
My God, she cut you off.
No, no, I was like, yeah, okay, JJ, didn't ask for your life stories.
Oh my God, if you did, she cut you off, didn't she, and went to lunch and left you wanting to talk legislation.
JJ and I went to lunch.
Carrie and Tommy.
If you drive home the Savo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
To shave or not to shave?
To poo or not to poo?
To
send back a burger if it's pink inside.
Or not to
send back a burger if it's pink inside.
Oh, how pink? Like, how much of it's pink?
Pretty
just
pink.
Eat around it?
Well, that's the problem with a burger. So if it's chicken or something like that.
Of course, it's a no-brainer.
Yes. You just send it back.
That's
right?
Just you wouldn't even be doing the segment.
No.
No.
I'd be dead because I would have eaten the pink burger because I'm scared of confrontation and the chicken would have killed me. But I got a burger from room service at the hotel and the first bite was maybe okay. And then the closer I got to the center, the pinker and pinker it got. But by that stage, I felt like I couldn't send it back because I'd nibbled all around the edge.
I was going to say you need to rotate it and go all the way around.
I did.
But you've done that.
I did.
Too late.
I essentially had like a burger donut.
Well, you could then send it back and get it for free.
Is that what happens?
It happens all the time.
Jesse, what would you do?
I reckon it's weird. When they took your order, did they ask you if you want it medium rare, any of that?
Does anyone want a burger medium rare?
Well, that's...
Like, I get a piece of steak.
Well, they didn't ask me, but I've once before been to a French restaurant, and this is all the more reason to dislike the French. I was there with my friend, and she was pregnant, and she said, can I get the burger well done? And they said, no. They said that's not how they do their meat.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, sorry. They said, no. This is not how I do the meat.
And she said, see?
And she said, see?
Oui?
Hola. Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
No, I it's hard with room service too because the time for you to get it back, by then you're not hungry anymore. Yeah. I think you're not sending back a room service one. If you're probably at a restaurant and you cut it open, say, to eat the burger in halves.
Who does that?
I do.
To give, is that because you're a mother and you give away
sometimes
all of your world possessions
to kids
around you?
Sometimes it's just hard sometimes to eat it all in one.
You cut it in half.
Occasionally.
Like you with a knife, with a fork on one side, and then you chuck
a
knife down the middle. Do you?
Yes, I do.
That's adorable, isn't it?
But I reckon if I saw it was then raw, it's perfect time to send it back. You know, maybe you should start cutting your burgers in half.
Okay. Now
I've
got to start.
5-year-old, yeah.
Great.
You can cut it into triangles.
And they go, that man who cuts his burger in half has sent it back again. Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy. That is where you're at for your Thursday afternoon. Still plenty more to come, the Sarvo guys.
Heaps still to come. Because in your professional or personal life, do you have a mentor?
I would say yes, actually.
I would say yes. Okay.
Sorry, as in I don't say to them when I call them, hey, mentor.
Okay.
But I do call this person often for life advice.
So I think I've found someone. As you know, I have a mentor too, but I think I've found a godlike.
Me?
Yeah, it's you. Yeah. It's you. I think I've found a godlike figure to follow in their footsteps.
Sure.
It's you again.
I said you too early, didn't I?
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, I'll talk about him next. Carrie
and Tommy. Across Australia, if you drive home this Arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Because you know how the phrase, my spirit animal, gets thrown around too much.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I'm about to do it. I think I have found...
You've met your spirit animal.
I haven't met him yet. I've got to go to Slovenia to meet him.
Oh.
So Jesse and I did a little swim trek adventure together, right?
Through Greece.
Through Greece, yes. Yeah. And the company was called Strel. That was who we went. They run swimming holidays where you go and basically get fit in different parts
of the
world.
Would you have ever thought in your life you would be on a swimming holiday?
Not ever. And I would have pointed and laughed at the people doing them. And both are correct. And then I was just looking up kind of endurance swims and I came across a Martin Strel. And he is the guy who founded the company that we did the swim with.
Yeah, right.
Martin Strel is the only guy in the world to have swum the 5 great rivers.
Oh.
Yes.
Which rivers are they?
Well, the last one he did was the Amazon.
Wow.
Yes, he swam the Amazon.
Isn't there like a whole lot of bits in there you got to worry about?
Because he had to swim with a boat next to him. Guess what they had on the boat? Buckets of blood. So if he got attacked by piranhas, they would throw the blood into the water as a distraction and then be like, Martin, get in, while the blood got attacked.
Oh, my God, is this your way of telling me your next big adventure? Are you swimming the Amazon? Well, can I have the buckets of blood? Oh, my God, this is so fun.
Because I need the blood. You're just sunbaking with headphones on while piranhas are getting me. Because the blood, the blood. And you look over and it's like, did someone accidentally throw a bucket of blood in the water? That was Tommy.
That was Tommy. But there's also snakes, like all the anacondas and stuff, isn't there?
Oh, tell her about the little fish that swims.
Oh, yes. There is a little fish that swims up a man's,
Sorry, hold on.
Yeah. And then once it's in, it goes chink and puts out.
Stop it. And then it can't get. Oh,
and then chunk. And then there's no way but to remove it.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so that's your next adventure. Yeah.
Anyway, you'd think, so when he swam I forgot what the name of the one in China is. Is it
Yangtze?
Yangtze? It's the most polluted river in the world and it nearly killed him. He got so many infections that it nearly killed him. And and in the Amazon swim, they made a documentary and I started watching it and I thought, this man must be just the fittest specimen ever. And people would always ask me, like, have I given up drinking completely before I do any of these things? And it is always a hard bit of it. And then I thought, this guy must have had never had a drink. Wow.
He is a big drinker. Even while he's swimming, he drinks 2 bottles of wine a day.
Yeah. He is your spirit animal. Yes.
Do they have a little squirty bottle?
Yeah, they've got a squirty bottle of wine. What? And then at one stage they tried to give him water.
Is it like when you get he'd
go to the edge
swimming,
of the boat and they'd squirt wine into his mouth? At one stage they were trying to give him water and he said, no, no, no. And they threw a bottle of Jack Daniels to him.
So hold on. He now, what's he do? Like, is
so he's sponsored by Mazda and he drives a Mazda car around Slovenia. And because he's famous in the town, he parks it anywhere. So he just puts it up on a curb, like halfway up, and leaves it there. But you think a guy that drinks that much while he swims, does he drive sober? Yeah. Not according to his son.
Many Slovenians are drunk and drivers.
Oh.
We are at the top in Europe by statistics. And my father, Martin, is one of them.
What he does when he drives, he eats a lot, drinks a lot, and be on the phone all the time. But he is very good in driving. He's a really good driver, and he can make it even if he is drunk.
So he drinks and drives, and he talks on his phone and drives.
At one stage in the documentary, he's going 140 miles an hour.
Miles.
While he's drunk, while practicing, he's got a breathing thing in his mouth, practicing power breathing while listening to a learn.
He's
to
doing some Wim Hof while he's
listening to a learn to speak English tape. I'm not lying. And then and he
please
starts
don't
to go,
aspire to do that stuff.
I won't
know?
Give away.
No,
I won't give away the end.
Keep it. Be drunk in the pool, not on the road.
No, no, that's not what you say.
Oh, no,
to people.
Actually, no. Sorry, that's how you
just
drown.
Don't be drunk anywhere.
Sorry, don't be drunk anywhere.
Martin can, no one else. there was one bit where, because I'm like, this guy is just, is there any downside to this man? And he had a sponsorship.
Is there any downside? We just heard the downside,
Is there any other downside to this man? And at one stage, because he wears his wetsuit, that's all you see him in. And he's posing in every village that they stop in the Amazon. He's posing with all the locals and stuff in his wetsuit. And then at one stage, his son in the documentary goes over to smell the wetsuit and he kind of leans back. and he goes on to explain, and I'm about to play you why the wetsuit smells. And I leant close to my TV because I thought he was going to give us this in-depth breakdown of something that was in the water in the Amazon or some kind of parasite that may be causing this smell.
Oh, my God.
Have a listen to why his wetsuit smells.
Martin's wetsuit smells like shit. Probably because he's shitting inside.
We should get him on the scat chat.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app for your drive home this afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I've got what I think is a very important question to ask, but I don't know how to ask it without sounding like a creep.
Can you pass me a tissue? Sorry, I've got something on my
chin. Can you pass me a
Not
tissue?
Not you. Sorry, I've got something on my lip.
It was pretty creepy. I got a little mess to clean up.
Sorry.
So much creepier.
I'm eating Caesar salad and I had a bit of sour cream on or whatever that is.
That was the important thing I had to ask.
Yep.
Is that sour cream on your chin? Because I feel like a creep asking it.
Okay, you've got an important question, a general question about life or a question to me specifically.
A question about life that I hope you can answer.
Okay.
Should men concentrate on looking good clothed or naked? Because are we...
Because clothes are the window to the soul, you know? Like, so
that's
clothes
eyes.
Is,
that's eyes.
Nah, clothes is what gets us in. I mean, yes, eyes, but you can't do anything about them. You've got your droopy one, and that's what you got to work with, you know?
Like, it's pretty rich coming from you, mate. Carrie got mistaken for a pirate the other day. I said, that's not a patch. It's just closed.
So, yes, I know what you're saying, because to get people in, you got to look good. But once they're in, you can really lose them quickly if you look bad.
I just think the time we spend in a gym, should we spend it studying fashion or finding clothes that fit better?
I mean, you could start by just adding a new colour T-shirt to your rotation.
See?
That would be a great
place
to start.
That's what I mean. And maybe I wouldn't have to go to the gym for 2 weeks if I do that.
I think you could find fit that in your schedule too.
Okay.
Remember when you added that new T-shirt to your rotation the other day and the reaction that it got from Bickers?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've since been told that's fantastic, by the way.
Which, the shirt?
Yeah.
Oh. Here's my question, though. Mm. How much better do you feel when you feel fitter and you're working out?
Well, I feel like if I was married to my soulmate, it wouldn't. That would feel pretty good too.
No, because I think you'd find that you project better and you come across better when you feel better about yourself. And that's not what you're wearing. That's how you feel.
No, because if you know that people are more worried about what you're wearing than what you look like under your clothes, then you are worried about what you're
no,
wearing.
No, but we're imagining what's under when we're looking at your clothes.
Are you?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Look who's the creep now.
Are you?
Jessie. Not with everyone.
No, I don't mean with everybody. We're not just talking about, I don't look at you, Jess, and go, oh, what's under there?
I know what you're saying,
mate. I mean, as in
for someone
like,
as they wipe sour cream off their chin.
No, I mean, you're talking about potential suitors, aren't you? Well, yes. You're just talking about in life, everybody.
Both.
Because if somebody that is looking at you, deciding whether they want to be with you, is looking at the outer and also imagining the inner.
I guess what I realised is probably 99.5% of the time you are seen by other people, it's clothed. And yet I reckon we put in more effort working on the naked bit underneath and does it matter?
No, because the clothes look better on that naked bit when that naked bit is fitter. Do you know what I mean? So the clothes sit differently when you're fitter. So the fit, I think you should just keep going to the gym.
Okay, damn it. Damn it.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home for your Thursday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And guys, NIB is more than just health insurance. Check out nib.com.au.
Yep. If you're wanting help living a healthier life, then NIB is the place to go because they want us all to live health first wherever we are in life. They've got heaps of content that's tailored specifically for you and what you're wanting to achieve in the health world and well-being stuff, looking after your mental health and just otherwise in life, just feeling better.
Yes, because, hey, before we go any further, just want a fun little animal fact.
Of course, I love them.
There is a jellyfish that is technically immortal because it
immortal, which means it'll never die.
Immortal.
Is that right?
Yes. Because it reverts back to its child state after becoming sexually mature. And so it just keeps going like a constant, like Benjamin Button cycle.
Wow, isn't that kind of like what we all do? Like we all end up back in nappies, you know? We revert back to our child state and being fed soft food, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, we're immortal.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
G'day, the guys want to know. They'd like to check in. It's Carrie and Tommy's. What do you reckon?
Reckon.
What have you got for us today, Producer Belle?
Today, the question is, what do you reckon the percentage of people who lie about their age is?
Ooh.
Don't all point to me. I don't ever lie about it. You lie about my age.
Yeah, because you tell me, knock 5 years off.
And so, don't. You make me older than I am.
That's not true.
It's not nice.
I say 40.
You don't say that at all. You say 50, sometimes even higher than that. I'm a young 40-year-old at best.
Age.
You what?
I want to lie about my age, but I don't know when people start doing it. Because I feel like that thing of not aging through a pandemic is fair. And so we should all be able to.
Well,
be
I had my
40th younger
during the pandemic, so I'm happy to have not aged during the pandemic.
Never happened because.
Mm.
So, what percentage?
So, do men and women both lie as much, or do you think more one sex more than the other?
I think
interesting because I have stats on both.
Mm,
great.
I think why would there's no difference? So why would they lie?
I think you think exactly what I'm thinking.
Women
that
lie.
Society tells us that we have to look youthful, so we lie about our age more as women.
I was just thinking. Women are more conniving. So.
It's the patriarchy. It's
also, you guys are so dumb that you'd forget what age you said.
You don't even need to lie to us.
No.
I don't think us being dumb has ever stopped us from lying before, though.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, lie about their age. Like once in their life or like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like what's the...
I also reckon it's an older thing. I reckon there's too many things to check up now. But like back in the day, I reckon there was plenty of people who when they died... Their husband, wife went, do you know they were actually 10 years older than they said? And you're like, no, because I had no cross
referencing. But whereas now with your Facebook or your Insta or your
Wikipedia.
You know. Would you lie, would young people lie to be older, to get jobs and stuff?
Or to get into
Get into clubs.
Get some drinks.
I reckon
at some point, 90% of people have lied about their age.
Wow.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And I mean, women, it's probably
did
almost
you all
100%.
Have fake IDs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yes.
No.
I was
no.
a girl called Jess.
Were you?
I was my best friend Kate.
I don't even remember my name.
We just had the same ID, and one would go around the back and one would go out the front, around the front, because the guys were so dumb. Sometimes we'd go next to each other just for shits and giggles and give them the same ID, and they would still let us in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't condone it, of course,
no.
though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. What do you think? What stat do you think it is?
He's too scared to speak.
What percentage?
Of people who have lied about their age? Yeah, I reckon 80%.
Mm. No, I reckon it's way lower. I reckon 40%.
Mm. I'm going 90.
Wow.
That's coming from the kid with no fake idea.
Okay, so a study found that nearly one-third of men have lied.
Is that all?
Before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're lying about that.
Yeah. Going to have to be like 200% of women. Okay.
And actually 20%. So take a zero off the 200.
Oh, 20% right. Only 20% of women.
Yeah, have lied about their age.
I don't know.
And a little note
here
too in the study that lying is rampant in online dating.
Oh, no shish.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bigmore and Tommy Little.
And producer Sonda joining us now as well. What's happening, Son?
I have a question for you guys. I need your help. Mm-hmm. I know you teased me when I held on to a 90 that I gave birth in and said that was not okay.
No. That's not what that was. That's not. Don't rewrite history.
It's just because you called us in the 90 and said you were wearing your sexy 90.
And that you wear it to bed with Adrian, holding on to like mementos. I do that. I just don't wear them to bed. They're in a little box somewhere.
Oh, and just don't zoom us. Like, you know, you can wear it. Just turn your camera off.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, we didn't mock you, but we're mocking you now.
Okay. Well, the other day I was hanging at my washing and I saw a bra and thought, my God, I've had that bra since 2007 because it's one of the first matching sets that I bought to seduce Adrian.
Yes.
And I'm still wearing it. And is that like 15 years ago or something?
I tell you what, Son, that is testament to the fabric makers because I would have thought that you're a very well buxomed lady.
The dig old biddies would have worn that baby out.
Nah, but your old ones, I don't mean your boobs, I mean your bras. You let them hang low. Like as in the support's gone, but that's what's comfy about them, isn't it?
It's still supportive.
Is it?
Everything, the wire's still there. Everything is still in great nick. It's unbelievable. The matching undies, I had to let them go.
Well, it's funny you say that because I've still got a G-string.
It couldn't support. It could support the boobs, but not the crotch.
Yeah, but there's a lot less structure in the undergarments, yes. I've still got a G-string that my nana gave me for my 21st birthday.
What? Do you wear it still?
Because I've still got the photo because it was a lace one. But you know when the rubber on the, well, not the rubber, but the elastic starts to fray. So it's completely frayed. It's weird. It's sentimental and cultural. And here I am mocking you for wearing your birthing nightie. Still wearing Nana's G-string. But she gave it to me and I remember thinking how fun, because Nana's was quite straight, how fun that she thought that was a funny gift to give me for my 21st.
Oh, it is a funny gift.
Yes, it is.
She's right.
Yeah, it's like when she also gave my mum a pepper grinder. And we all thought she'd given my mum a vibrator. It was one of those zzz ones, and everyone was like, "What's Nan done?"
Oh, one of the powered ones that you push a button.
Yes.
Because I did think, what kind of crank start
old school
toy are you using where you grind here to get it going?
Follow Carrie Bigmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show. Now that the show's over, you can find more of Carrie and Tommy in the podcast. NIB are more than just health insurance. They're a health partner. Put your health first and join NIB today. Visit nib.com.au.